Greetings, friends, and welcome back to part 8 in our series on the topic, God will heal the world. God did heal a small number of people after Christ's first coming, and he did this as a foretaste of the complete healing of the world after Christ's second coming. So we know that God healed some people during Christ's first coming. We know that God will heal everyone after Christ's second coming. But what about the period in between? Why hasn't God healed the world now? Why is God allowing suffering now? Why do we have to go through all of the suffering that we see around us? Why? If God is a loving God, why is God allowing suffering? Well, the plain truth of the matter is that God wants to teach us that sin sucks. That's right, sin sucks. Sin is horrible, it's terrible, and should be intolerable. Sin sucks. And in our last program, we talked about the fact that sin sucks in four ways. The first way is that sin sucks life out of the soul. That leaves us with death. Sin sucks health out of the mind. That leaves us with despair. Sin sucks health out of the body. That leaves us with disease. And sin sucks joy out of the heart. That leaves us with distress. Also in the last program, we read that everyone from Adam and Eve until now has sinned. And we read that everyone who sins dies. So death is the result of sin, because in our last program, we were focusing on the first point where it says that sin sucks life out of the soul, which means that we die. And that's what we're going to continue to focus on in today's program. The fact that sin sucks life out of the soul. And that equals death. So everyone has sinned. Since death is the result of sin, everyone will die. That's the first way in which sin sucks. Sin sucks life out of the soul. That leaves us with death. And the scripture that proves that the wages of sin is death, the penalty for our sins is death, can be found in Romans the 6th chapter and in verse 23. Also, to prove the statement that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that's everyone, you can turn to Romans the 3rd chapter and read verse 23. So we see that everyone has sinned, that's in Romans 3 verse 23, as a result of people's sins, there is death. That's Romans 6, verse 23. So now I want to take a little bit of time to define the phrase, sin sucks life out of the soul. We're going to kind of dissect this sentence, and the sentence is, sin sucks life out of the soul. The first question is, what is sin? If sin sucks life out of the soul, we need to know what sin is so that we can avoid it. We don't want for life to be sucked out of our soul, so therefore we have to avoid sin. Let's define sin. Sin is, this is a big, clear statement in the Bible. Sin is. Now what is sin? Let's turn to John, 1 John. This is the first epistle of John in chapter 3, and we'll start reading in verse 4. Again, this is the first book of John. Chapter 3, verse 4. Sin is, here it goes. Sin is the transgression of the law. And now we need to ask ourselves the question, which law? If sin is the transgression of the law, then which law are we referring to? Let's turn over to the book of James now in chapter 2, and we'll read verses 8 through 11. This is where we're going to find the answer in the book of James, chapter 2, and verses 8 through 11. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, so here the law is called the royal law. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, then you do well. And I'll come back to this statement a little bit later. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, then you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Same phraseology there. Here it says that you're convicted by the law as transgressors. In 1 John 3, verse 4, it says that sin is the transgression of the law. Here it says that if you commit sin, then you are convicted by the law as transgressors. Now, returning to the verse, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, does this sound familiar to you? Which law is this referring to? For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you still have become a transgressor of the law. Again, I'm asking you now, which law? Well, let's turn over to Romans chapter 7, and we'll read verse 7 to clarify it even more. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. Paul asked the question, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Let it not be said. That's a foolish statement. Don't even let it come out of your mouth. But I did not know sin except through the law. So here we have Paul saying that the law provides a definition of sin. This is what he said. But I did not know sin except through the law. So he came to know what sin is through the law, because the law defines what sin is. Therefore, we have to know, what is the law telling us? He goes on to say, for I did not know lust except the law had said, you shall not lust. Now let's read in verses 12 and verse 14, still in Romans chapter 7, but verse 12 and verse 14. We're letting the scriptures explain themselves. I'm not putting any spin on this. Maybe you've heard other people put spin on it, and they spun it into the ground, talking all kinds of junk about what sin is, but here God is telling us what sin is. Sin is the transgression of the law, and we are defining what law God is talking about. And Paul is saying, under the inspiration of God, indeed the law is holy, just, and good. And we know that the law is spiritual. The law is holy, just, and good, and it's spiritual. There's nothing wrong with the law. You have a lot of people saying that there's something wrong with the law, but there's nothing wrong with the holy, the just, the good, the spiritual law of God. Now, let's revisit this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Is this the law? Again, James said, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, then you do well. So that's a fair question. Is this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, is this the law that we're talking about? Or is the law defined as, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder, etc., etc.? Which one is the law? Well, the answer is there are really two parts to the same equation. Think of the law as a pyramid. At the top level, you have the singular word law. So when it says sin is the transgression of the law, think about the law being the singular word at the top of the pyramid. At the next level down, you have the two great commandments in the law. So there are two great commandments in the law that spring forth from the law. Okay? Now, what are these two great commandments? Well, we can find that in Matthew chapter 22 and verses 36 through 39. This is in the book of Matthew, chapter 22 and verses 36 through 39. The first one, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all of your soul. That's the first commandment, the first great commandment. And the second one is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So that's the part that James was talking about when he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, then you do well. All right, so you look first at the top of the pyramid, would you have the singular word law? Then on the next level, down in the pyramid, you have branching off from that one word law, two great commandments in the law. The first one being, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And number two, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, at the next level down, at the foundation there of this pyramid, you have the Ten Commandments. right? So you have first the law. This is a great big concept, the law. It's a system, the law. And within the law, there's two branches, which are the two great commandments, loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and loving your neighbors as yourself. And then branching out from those two branches are the Ten Commandments. And we have the Ten Commandments being, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, etc., etc. Alright, so let me explain it a little bit further. Within the law are two great commandments, or overall principles. These are principles. They describe the motivation for following the law. The law is the system. The two great commandments are the motivation for following the system. And that motivation should be to love God and to love people. So love is the motivation. That's the spirit of the law. Whenever you see in the Bible that phrase, the spirit of the law, the spirit that's behind the law is the spirit of love. God is love, and if God is in us, then we must be love. So to love God and to love people, that's the motivation or the spirit behind the law. That's the reason for following the law. And then the first great commandment of loving God is defined by four specific examples of how to love God. And those are the first four of the Ten Commandments. They are, have no God before me, don't make any graven image of me, don't take my name in vain, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those four specific examples of the first great commandment, how to love God, are that branch from the great commandment of loving God. Those are four specific examples, and those are the first four of the Ten Commandments that you find in Exodus, the 20th chapter, for instance. And now the second great commandment of loving people is defined by six specific examples, and these are the last six of the Ten Commandments. They are, honor your mother and father, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't lie, and don't lust or covet. So we can see this laid out in Romans the 13th chapter, and we'll read in verses 8 through 9. This is Romans the 13th chapter in verses 8 through 9. Here it says simply, owe no man anything except to love one another. That's the motivation. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. That's the system. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not lust or covet. And if there is any other commandment, so those are the specific examples of how to love your neighbor as yourself, all right? If there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this phrase, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, we've said that sin is the transgression of the law, and we've defined the law. The law is the Ten Commandments in the letter and spirit of the law. The letter equals the Ten Commandments. The spirit or the motivation behind the law equals the two great commandments of loving God and loving people. So that is a definition of sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. But do you know what? God gives us another very clear definition of sin. Do you know what that definition is? Well, I hope you'll join me on the next program, because that's what we're going to talk about, is the second definition of sin.